This is a production of Cornell University.
AA meeting, November 19th, 2008.
All right, folks, we're going to get started. I'm sitting in for Brian today, who could not make the beginning or possibly the whole meeting. So I'll call this meeting to order, the Wednesday, November 19th, 2008 meeting of the Employee Assembly in 105 Simpson Hall. Are there any late additions to the agenda?
Holiday will be at Bailey Hall.
That's on the agenda for new business.
Okay. Was there pipeline? Yes.
Anything else? Okay. Mary Opperman will be attending at 1 p.m. or around that time, so we'll probably break wherever point we are in the agenda to go to switch to her as business of the day.
Oh.
All right, so the first item of business, of new business, the President's Address and Energy Fair Review. This is the time to put in any comments of post-mortem or how it went. And
I'll jump in just with a couple of things. But that was just my opinion. But overall, I thought it went well, both the fair and the President's Address. I think one thing we need to address is if we're going to decide whether we're going to hold that kind of format in the future, you know, try and tie the energy fair and that together. And I know there's a lot of people missing here, so maybe we don't want to do that today, but I think we need to give some serious consideration. And if we do want to hold it again, who do we want to have organized? Is it our own group, or are we going to try and get some volunteers, or whatever? I know there's a lot of work for a few people, several things, right? But not that it was bad, I thought it was really a lot. It's kind of post-mortem, some real quick things, because again, it depends on whether we decide to include this again next year or not. The things I just noticed is the areas to improve were the layout of the vendors. They had to rearrange people because they were competitive together. getting a better handle on the electric needs, because we had everybody laid out and we ended up moving about five vendors over to the far side because they need electricity.
We
asked
them if they did
help. I know. So we just, next year, whoever's doing it, it's just, we got to have stronger media, I don't know. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of the auto and the gas rules, of whether you could have those in the building or not. But those are things I saw from a lot of people.
Do we know what the attendance was? A recent breakfast, Tommy Bruce had talked about how there were 800 people there. That seems to be what they were saying. And I thought that was you think there were more?
Yes.
Than 800?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said it said 100.
I think there were 700.
Yeah, I thought it was lower. But there was no official competition by any means. And I know a lot of people are guessing numbers.
I think it's important to recognize if there were 700 people there, to know how many people came to the energy fair versus how many came to the president's speech, because I think those were sometimes two different, might have been two different groups of people, not everyone did both. Because when I looked at the president's speech and tried to count, it wasn't close to 500 or 700, it was more like 200. But I could be wrong. But I think that the number of people who came to see the president, in my opinion, was lower than in previous years because they might have come for the energy fair.
I think the other thing is that, you know, people only have X number of time for the lunch break, unlike some of us. Some people, you know what I mean, don't have the luxury to arrange their own schedule. Their supervisors arrange their schedule. They can only be gone for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. So I think that was a part of why some of the people that came early on might not be the president. Direct?
Piggybacking on that, I think due to our best efforts to try to get out the message to supervisors and managers to make it a whole department affair, everybody go, and make it a 2-3 hour event, that message can completely get out there as we originally intended.
But some departments can't shut down like that. You know what I mean? But even on a personal basis, I don't like to say this is my department, but I work over the back house and the developers and the whole IT group, I put it out to, but I've got several emails that got some developers directly, so this is going to be that thing, come on down. I didn't go out and grab people by the hands and walk them down, so left by myself, not one of them showed up. I mean, they just, you know, and then they had direct contact with their supervisor, telling them, you're welcome to go on down. And so for me, for my group, it was just apathy, I think, you know, or just they thought they had too much work to do.
I try to make it very clear, and I think that you can come.
So I think if it is done again, it should be done collectively with other relevant groups on campus, and not just sponsored by the EDA alone. But it should be done in collaboration with those other groups that are interested in energy and green, improving the environment, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that the video of the president was on cue and go right front and center there, so that you knew that he addressed the fact and could click on it. I don't know how many people clicked on it, but I think that was a very good follow-up that they arranged. Someone put it there.
Would you be able to follow up with them and ask them if they have any statistics on if they know how many people clicked on it?
If they didn't have a counter, would they still be able to find it?
Behind the scenes, they might.
Yeah, the computer guy.
An observation for me is, looking at our model event that we were going after, but what happened so 2 or 3 years earlier, they whipped it all together in 2-3 weeks, but they had staff that could almost deploy full time for that 2 weeks intensive period, and us being volunteers or not being able to dedicate time to organize the energy fair as part of our daily jobs was, I think, maybe a little oversight of trying to figure out the resources that we would need to pull this event off, and that kind of strained us a lot. I mean, we're already strained with carrying out our EA duties, let alone trying to pull off an enormous event, which we learned that is very involved, especially when you go to the event planning meeting and you find out the things like insurance and things like cars and other logistics and the phone calls, and the coordination was just massive. So if the EA decides to ever do something like this again, I do think we need to partner with some entity that has a person that or people that could work on it full time, or at least a few hours dedicated during their job.
Well, the other thing we can do to help ourselves out, and I agree with that, by the way, that it shouldn't be just EA, we should partner with people. But, and I'm willing to help with this if people will give me the information I'll pull together. But I think it would be good if we took what we learned this year, like the contacts you had for outside, the contacts I had for the inside groups. Things about the facilities and so forth, anything that we learned, if we could write it down and document, so whoever does it next year, if we do it, we've got a starting point, and now recreate the wheel again. I mean, for you and I think we were just starting from scratch, like what groups we go up to and how we find them, and it was challenging to say the least. I think we learned a lot, if we took all the information on the stuff you learned about the facilities and whatnot, if we could take all that down and just document it. So I guess what I'm offering up is if people that had different areas that you're covering, if you will give me the information, I'll pull it together as an overall document that we can have for the future.
That's good.
And then you can delete it off our computers.
Yes, delete it off your computers. And then what I want to do, though, what I've done with it, is I don't want to be the holder of it. I can give it to the assembly's office or to wherever we want to put it, or out on the east, where we do with it. But
you're saying you're not creating a standard operation procedures for an industry.
To an extent. I don't know how, it depends how much detail you get, but yeah, that's basically it. You know, these are the things all the things you should be going through, so yes, it's a standard operation. And also just the information associated with, like, here's all the internal vendors we contact and all the contact information and things, so when you go back up the contact and you've got it, and the outside vendors and things of that nature.
Okay.
So that raises a good point in terms of the actual attendance. So how should that be determined if it's done in a future event for another meeting? How do you count how many people? Do you have cameras there or who does?
The best way to count is to have people like do a little raffle.
Mm-hmm.
That's effective because people
like that.
The other thing is if you've got discrete seating, like the staffer, you can just have somebody walk up and down and do a quick
right.
count. This is a little trickier. If I was sitting on the stage looking at everyone, I kind of didn't count that way.
The other thing, too, maybe they shouldn't even be done together. Maybe they're two separate events. But who's got 2 or 3 hours? Most of us don't.
One of the things that happened, too, was you know, some people mentioned that they're used to going to the presence of a dress and having a free lunch. And that didn't happen this year, and there's been some feedback that was like, oh, where's the free lunch, you know? And then if we didn't actually meet the dollar amount in sales that dining was expecting. So we have to pick that up in what they lost.
Oh, there we are.
Mm-hmm. Brian knows the complete details on that, but we did not meet the minimum threshold to cover their costs for the event. There just weren't that many people buying lunch there.
Do I change that contract?
Do we know? Yeah, do we know?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Did you know?
No, I wasn't in that.
I don't know. Some people might have been turned off because they had some technical difficulties at the beginning, too.
With the food?
Signing it?
Yeah, with their cash registers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, they did
that
for you, right?
I didn't know that either.
Well, was it software or power?
No, it had something to do with the system itself.
But
so John C. was the director for that group, director by chief, was working with his people on it. Had something to do with the system, whether it was software, hardware, or it wasn't power.
I think if we capture the feedback, I'm not sure we can make a decision now about what to do next year because things are changing so fast right now
mm-hmm.
that a year from now, we might have a whole new way of doing business
mm-hmm.
that might not even involve having events.
Exactly.
And observation I would throw out there is I'm always trying to be aware of what our core EA mission is, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. About, you know, it is a nice thing for us to coordinate an event for employees, but is that the best use of our time as this elected body to represent staff issues and concerns?
Well, I guess it would be more relevant if it is relevant, then it is good. But maybe this, I don't know.
Yeah.
See, you know, something a group like the EA runs on its own enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
and I think whatever the group is enthusiastic about, you could talk to anybody. So we talked Mary Alperman into doing this. She forewarned us.
She did?
She sure did. I was in the room with Brian and Mary. She said, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Brian said, work for the challenge.
Brian's conveniently not here.
Yeah,
he doesn't have
the tools. If he does show up, we'll surprise him and tell him we moved the review to the bottom of the agenda so I can escape it.
I think we need to move on. We have a lot on the agenda. What I would recommend is we should take any information people give us, you know, documents at least we have for next year. Sometime down the road, we can decide whether we want to do this again, do it differently, not do it at all. I don't think we need to decide that here for this meeting.
That's right.
Yep, I agree.
It's a great idea, Bill. Thanks for offering to collate all that information. It will definitely help because we, you know, we really have to review all of our tasks and, oh yeah, I remember that. And then we at least get them in writing to you and go into some permanent archive.
Jason, we have a guest with us that has not been introduced.
Got that. Like to introduce Emily Kusick.
Kusick.
From the SA, who is our new SA liaison.
Welcome.
Do we want to just quickly go around the room and introduce
everybody?
Somebody new to our table? Alan
Mittman, the
Associate Director of Equity Programs at the Office of Workforce Diversity, Equity, and Life Quality. Nice to meet you.
I'm Beth McKinney. I work in the Wellness Program, and I'm also the Employee Elected Trustee.
My name is
Leon Lawrence, and I work in the College of Architecture. I'm also a member of the University Assembly.
Peter Karloff, Human Resources Society.
Jason Seymour, Vice Chair of the Assembly. I work in IT in the Computing and Information Science.
Amy O'Donnell from the Assembly's Office.
Yeah. We met a little bit on Podolitic. I'm the project manager for IT at Quebec College and also on the UA.
Hi, Gary Stewart, Government Community Relations.
Thank you.
All
right. So we'll move on to our next item here, the Employee Assembly supporting the suggestion box.
I've been given that from Brian.
Okay.
Brian and I were selected to be on the committee that is looking at the results of the electronic suggestion box. It is, I don't know the name of the committee off the top of my head, it's the Non-Personnel Cost Savings Committee, and it's a group of 10 or more people. We met once when we meet again, and that group is pulling together a report with some concrete ideas based on the suggestions. The report will be due in the middle of December. Brian and I were at the first meeting and were asked to help gather more suggestions from the staff, and we agreed to do that. And the way that we, what we had briefly talked about at this meeting was setting up a couple, that'd be two forums for people to be able to share suggestions, people who wouldn't necessarily go to the suggestion box or don't know about it. And so it is an opportunity to get feedback from people. It's an opportunity to have that brown bag lunch or the forum that we have been talking about, an opportunity to communicate with people. And so I came up with some suggestions that Brian liked and wanted us to share with you. My idea was that we can offer three ways for people to share their ideas in addition to the suggestion box, because not, as you know, not everyone's going to come out to a forum, especially the people who are hard to reach. So one would be attend a forum at these two locations. Two would be call your trustee, Beth McKinney, and my phone number. And three, write it down and campus mail it to the EA. Anyway, I got to thinking, and I'll throw this out as a pure brainstorm, but if we wanted to go the humorous angle to get people to come, we could have a forum smorum where there are free marshmallows for everybody. It's the humor angle, and there could be a winner who wins a swarming machine. Anyway, that's where I am with this right now, but let me just tell you what Brian wrote. What we need is that someone from the EA to work on getting us a location for December 2nd, 3rd, or 5th. It will be a brown bag forum, of course, with marshmallows, and some of our senior leadership will be there, as well as our cost-saving committee members. Getting this rolling is very important, and my help would be greatly appreciated. So, if we can get a location, the rest, I think, will, I certainly help plan it. But December 2nd, 3rd, or 5th is very soon.
I was just going to say, what was the December day you gave us in the beginning? What was going to happen at that time with the committee?
In the middle of December, I don't have the date with me, there's going to be a report. It might be December 20th, but this committee is submitting our report, but it doesn't mean the suggestions will stop.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time. Okay.
Yeah, the committee's been asked to just be on warp speed in getting things in place. So, for example, as you might have guessed,
or heard already, people have this suggestion of changing our purchasing or procurement methods so that we can save money in various ways. So there's a procurement committee that's coming up and looking at that and how much we could save if we did things differently. And Tom Romantic is in charge of that. And he's procurement staff.
Is this out of HR or some other unit?
It's shared. There are three presidents in charge, and they have asked to form a committee, and those three people in charge of the committee are Betsy Schreier, Mickey, I don't know if I got a last name, and Tom Romantic. So it's not HR.
Okay.
And the people on the committee represent the endowed colleges, contract colleges,
okay.
Transportation, purchasing, information systems, all the areas around Cornell.
Beth, do you know if there's a budget for any expenses for room rentals or food or any expenses at all? There's no budget?
Not that I know of. It's all about saving money.
No, but I get that. But how, where would you? I mean, lots of times room rentals don't come for free, and marshmallows are a cost of thing.
Brian said that that EA would be able to do this, and it would be great to have some trustee, blah blah blah. I never asked him. Is there EA budget for a form of lecture?
There's
$1,000 for unplanned events,
yeah.
And he did email me about spending maybe up to $500 on an event. So maybe this is the event that he's talking about.
Is there a budget line for any type of form?
Call it an event. If you call it an event, I mean, there was $1,000 for unplanned events.
So I'll probably work with Brian offline on this.
I don't know. To me, because it's so serious, and we know not only at Cornell, not only New York State, and not only in the United States, but globally, everybody's in a, if all the money was called in the fold, it is a depression. So I don't know from the marshmallow thing. It doesn't, to me, it doesn't quite fit because it's so serious.
Yeah.
But that makes us just me.
Well, see, the thing is, the president has had two forums that employees could have gone to. He mentioned the suggestion box. Several hundred people showed up at both of those.
Yeah, I attended both of those.
And so we've been asked to do this, and, you know, I'm happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, part of it is the public relations mission. It's to get everybody thinking in a certain way, getting on board with potential cost-saving measures that will happen,
mm-hmm.
but also to gather their ideas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not against the forums. I'm just, to me, the marshmallow piece didn't set well with me, but I'm just one person sitting around.
No, it doesn't really set well with me either.
Yeah, do you have any story ideas?
I think the forums are a great idea.
So what do you prefer? So this has to happen soon. Where the first week? So what would you suggest for meeting with? I mean, when's our next meeting?
The third.
The third.
But we have to decide something before.
We have to get meeting location and coordination and publicity and.
Are you at 3 months for it? Is there enough of us to vote on this? Is it necessary to vote or what? Because, I mean,
it seems to me like something that maybe the communications committee could help with too,
mm-hmm.
as a group to get together before that EA meeting, develop a plan, maybe get some handle on the cost.
If we could get a room like Biotech, that could be free. The only cost would be if we wanted to buy it.
Biotech charges.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
About 100. So 150 so.
You might, the way you might be able to get a free room you did last year was on some of the EA meetings, and I know there's a difference because we run a free room and stuff, but with our own areas, you know, last year I was at Campus Life, I was able to get a room in Campus Life just as a part and I talked to him and talked him into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julie got the museum.
Maybe I could do the best when Julie did the museum and stuff. So, I mean, I think if we're going to get the only way we're going to get a free room is if some of us pitch in our own areas and talk to some people and see if we can get a room.
Was the idea to have two at the same time?
No, two different ones.
Well, the thing I think that made the president or so well attended is that A, it was the president announcing things, so it was newsworthy and important, and B, it was well communicated. I mean, it went out to everybody and had a good response. So I would think we would need, along that motto, somebody of some distinction saying something rather than just having people come to contribute ideas rather than doing it electronically. I think it has to be newsworthy something.
Some
kind of date or something.
I know. Well, I feel a little odd because it's so quick. Mm-hmm. We can pull it together. It'll kind of look like we pulled it together.
Yeah.
Yet we agreed to do this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're running out of time. I mean,
yeah.
Do we need to do anything at this meeting to make it happen or not?
You know what? Let me give Betsy Schreier a call. She's the chair of that committee. One of the co-chairs.
The cost savings committee.
The cost savings committee. And just kind of flesh it out with her a little bit. And then if I can email this group and connect with Brian and email this group about the urgency of it or.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, we need really help. I mean, this thing seems like you don't know the EA rat. I mean, talk about the room I need. It should be a carpet. Let me finish my statement. That should be part of our concern. And as far as communications goes, we need Tommy Bruce to help us. This is a serious issue. This isn't like, you know, playing tag in the yard. I mean, we need to get this message out in a professional, comprehensive way. So, if we're doing it, you know, that's good help in that area. But we need help. You know, we just can't. This is not our purview. We'll help. But we can't be scrambling around and trying to get room. This is serious, and the university needs to shell out the money. If we do a biotech, if we do a public thing, wherever we end up being, it's making a nice event as far as, you know, the ambience and get the message out in a way that's beyond off-record or whatever. Thank you.
Okay. Well, so Beth, you kind of moved on into the merge, the suggestion
about
kind of brown bag together. So.
Because they are really together.
Okay. So move on. Discussion about evaluating the EA's priorities. Was that yours? Did you bring that up? In a past agenda call that I carried over to the meeting because we canceled?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes, and stuff might evolve, but in terms of that very first introductory meeting at the beginning of the year where we gave out that list of priorities, everything changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if it's something we need to do right this very minute, but I just wanted to.
Maybe we can we add this to another meeting where we actually have the printout and we actually have a bigger discussion?
Yeah, and the reason why this was on here as an agenda item is because the tone of the university abruptly changed. It was practically overnight. And that's when this got on, and now the tone has been communicated. And so this lost a little bit of its urgency, although our priorities will likely change because of that change of time.
I agree. So can we add this to a future meeting or a major discussion? Because this meeting is playing a lot of catch-up since we've had a canceled meeting and things moved over and we've got a lot of reports to get in and Mary's going to be showing up any minute now. And
yeah,
so that's
good. I think it's important that we have it, though. I think we've lost focus. You know, we are kind of, it's just like this brown bag and doing something that's just about it. It's not one of our furniture now, all of a sudden it should be different.
Right.
Okay,
so moving on, holiday films at Bailey Hall. We've been asked by Andy Page and the Bailey Hall staff to possibly co-sponsor a holiday Films event. I don't know much more beyond the details of what that sponsorship would mean, except maybe money. Alan, I think you were approached about the money.
Well, that was the specific context in which I would be called. He said that we do have $1,000 for unplanned events, so that's what I reported. We want to spend some part of it to co-sponsor the holiday films, and I guess we can do it.
How are the holiday films relative to our priorities?
Well, that's the question.
It, to me, it's not. You know what I mean? That's just me. I mean, there's other people around the table, but I don't see the match here.
I would tend to agree at this point, especially with the money and, you know, everything with us with priority is all jumbled up in the air because of everything new that we're working on.
They did this last year. To my knowledge, the EA was not part of when they had holiday movies last year at
What are the details? I mean, is it daytime, nighttime, family friendly?
I think it's family friendly. It's on a Saturday, I believe. The only time that I brought that up was because I just left a meeting before coming here with the Cornell Recreation Committee, and Cheryl McGraw wanted to know if EA was going to be a co-sponsor or whatever, because she is in the process of doing the publicity material that she'd like to get out tomorrow. So that's why I asked.
No pressure.
Yeah. I don't think we can make a decision on this. Especially.
Well, to make a vote, yes or no.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we have to put in a positive that we pursue this when we don't just think that.
That we pursue it?
Yeah, I'm going to put it in the positive, but if you don't want me to say no to vote.
Oh, I see.
So I make a motion that we pursue this event at Bailey Hall in whatever context.
So I have two questions. Is it employees? Is it family?
Employees and families.
Yeah, how much are we talking about? They're probably just looking for spots to sell funds, and they're reaching out to the EA, which is not anybody in my.
But they do it for the first time last year, is my understanding. And they made it happen last year without any funds from the EA, so I don't know.
This, I think we're getting too close to their time frame now with the cancellation. This was supposed to have been discussed at our last meeting and come up from Andy Page out of the communications committee as if the employee assembly would go on with this. So let me just see if I can pull up his email real quick that has some of the details, but I do not remember seeing a lot of them.
Procedural comment. Here, I'm not sure that the EA needs to vote to allocate to this if it was falling under the discretionary budget of the communications committee or something like that. But also, if nobody's interested in pursuing it, then there's no need to make a motion on it. Like,
I think it would help them get a collective vote. Decision on it, so we don't have like scattered groups, like one group is working on everyone else. You know, if we agree together not to devote any money during any time, I think it would make it easier. You know, even if it's not a certain sort of motion.
I guess what I'm saying is there should be a motion by at least one person who wants to put money into it.
Well, we don't, you know, if we do this vote, we'll know for sure if people do or not, you know.
Let me read the description from Andy. It was sent September 7th to the EA communications members. I'm writing regarding the proposed EA co-sponsorship of a holiday films event at Bailey Hall. We discussed this at a previous ComCom meeting and it seemed a very popular idea. I believe that was discussed before I started. Last year, Bailey Hall held a holiday films event. The event was sponsored by Bailey Hall and guests consisted of Cornell community members whose departments work with Bailey in some capacity. We had door prizes, food trays, and two films. It was a great success. It felt great, and I had heard nothing but jubilant feedback. This, I believe, is exactly the heightened sense of community that the communications committee is tasked with creating. I've approached the Bailey Hall Management Committee, to which I belong, suggesting this event could be opened up to all Cornell staff with a possible co-sponsorship with the EA. We were all receptive to the idea. Time is getting short and I'd like to move forward. I can propose an expense budget if we agree that this would be the next step.
So I'll retract my motion. Does anyone who actually wants to do this as part of the forward motion?
Absolutely not.
All right, moving on to report from the chair. Brian, let's see, Costas. Brian said that he wanted to mention that the Staff Recognition and Awards Committee is now under his purview of chairmanship. And recently at the George Peter Award was granted to Marcia Sawyer in Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering. And he said that there's a few other applicants. He'd like to wait till after the winter break to convene the meeting again to discuss the next round of awards. Okay. We have a report from the employee elected trustee.
Okay.
We're going to add a new agenda item now into all Karen M. Agenda's report from the SA. So, you've got anything to report?
Not really about anything that you can think of. We're reviving our election, right now we're electing officers, and
what's urgent in students' minds rather than
urgent the election, but we've also had discussion about from CIP and about sharing and the legality of that on campus, and I know we're going to have a continuation of that discussion about e-textbooks with the CIP people, and other than that, we're rotating people through, going through all the main issues that we've been working on. Board safety is a big one that keeps popping up. That has no real conclusion in sight. But board safety and election division.
Thank you. Report from the UA representative.
From last meeting, the major focus was on board safety, and they brought a Catholic donor and Todd Bittner. And they talked about, there's a committee and some groups together talking about the fact of the issues, obviously, with the gorge and the problem with people drowning and so forth. No, there were no firm decisions made in the meeting, but they talked heavily about enforcement, what's realistic, alternatives, if we could provide alternatives to keep people out of the gorge, whether that's bust them to a pool somewhere, have a pool here, whatever. They also talked about making the swimming areas safer. So a lot of discussion, nothing firm out of it. I know the CJC is going to look into a little bit from an enforcement standpoint, so they kind of handed off to CJC for that piece. I think it was more information, just trying to get feedback from the UA members. Only because I know we're doing a charter review, they are doing a charter review also, and there's a committee for that. And the only reason I bring it up is in case the committee that's working on charter review here wants to talk to the UA about their charter review, just to compare notes or see what people are doing. And the only other thing I want to know real quick is, I know it's last minute, but I just got the agenda. The UA meeting this afternoon might have some interest of some people. What they're going to do is have a quick CJC update, a campus planning update, a TAC update, and then they're going to have some presentations by TAs for about 15 minutes, project design and construction presentation, President's Climate Commitment Implementation Committee presentation, and a discussion on sustainability. So some topics that we've talked about here, I just want to make sure people are aware of it. It's an open meeting if anybody wants to come. It's from 4:30 to 6. Location? Location, which means?
229 ILR Conference Center.
Report from the EA representative to the Faculty Senate.
That's me. I attended two faculty-senate meetings, one on October 15th and one on November 5th. The first meeting was sort of a potpourri of topics, including some robust discussion about the email that went out from Tommy Bruce and Steve Johnson regarding the use of university facilities for opinions, political opinions, faculty. Many members stood up and had issues with that.
Shocking.
And then a second email went out from that pair. I think it's part of addressing some concerns. The second meeting was on November 5th, and the predominant discussion there was about the financial situation of the university. David Harris, our interim provost, presented mostly on that, but he was supported by Steve Golding, Mary Opperman, and Paul Streeter. And so there was also a pretty lively discussion among faculty concerning how the cuts and or layoffs and or other measures would be implemented and how they would affect faculty, staff, and students. And actually also in the first meeting there was a discussion by David Harris about financial aid and how the university was thinking about, and now has subsequently announced, a new way of financial aid to lessen the burden on students when they graduate. So those are the main topics that came up in those meetings.
Report from Staff Climate Steering Committee representative.
That would be me. I sent out a report just a couple hours before this meeting. I finally got to go. So I'm just going to hit some highlights. I do have electronically. There are a few copies you're going to want. It is in your email. The main points I want to bring out are first of all, the committee structure is really broken into two levels. There's the steering committee, which is the overall committee that I'm part of, and that's for general guidance and direction. And we're meeting monthly. And then within that group, there's the climate methodology team, which is a subset of the steering committee, which is made up of personnel from the Institute of Research and Planning. And they're doing a lot of the detail work, drafting some things for the focus group and things of that nature, and then bring it back to the steering committee. The overall process timeline is some real key dates. We're trying to get out to the focus groups by March 09. Though that data is somewhat flexible, to develop the test survey instrument by August 09 so that we can put that out in October as a survey to the whole staff. So it'll be October 09 for the survey. And then the data analysis and pulling the report together and everything to have a final report to the president in February 2010. So it's a long process that we're going through. Just a couple real quick key discussions that are going on. There's a very serious general concern about the current situation we're in and the financial instability of the country and world, and what kind of impact that might have on people going through the survey process. Mary Ackman specifically noted for ongoing surveys, it's fine. We're setting up a baseline survey, which this is going to be, it could have an impact. But we said we're going to go forward, took into account the fact that this is the case, and we're trying to devise some things to make sure that we get good information as a baseline that will guide us through the years. Because this idea that we do a survey, I don't know if it's once a year, once every 2 years, but maybe it's something nice. The other thing I brought up that I thought was important is they are mainly focused on getting information from this focus group. They're talking about maybe 8 focus groups, 6 to 10 people each. I brought up the fact that the Employee Assembly and also the Family Family Services Committee would certainly be interested in being able to give some input as to what the questions might be and so forth. And it, for this last meeting, we really took into account and they decided exactly what they were going to do with it. They said they understood it, made some sense, why not pull in some expert groups, but I don't know exactly how that's going to work. So I'm just trying to make sure we get our voice in there. So we'll see what happens with it. And that's basically it. Again, there's more detail than what they said.
I have a question in the first sentence where it says to move toward a single campus operation. What does that mean?
I was hoping you can answer that. Is Mary still coming? She could answer that.
we can answer that.
I actually missed, I'll be honest, it was late for the first meeting, okay. And I missed that.
Okay.
And when I put it in here, I thought, man, I'm not even sure if I could explain exactly what they're trying to do there.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, we need to.
Sorry, a campus operation?
Yes.
There talks about that in the context of the suggestion box as well. The idea is Cornell is an extremely decentralized institution, and there are a lot of offices doing the same things all over campus, and questions about can some of those be consolidated into, one office that can provide that service to many units instead of each unit having to do the same thing by itself.
And then, what do you know, Bill, offhand? Because it does mention in here when faculty and staff last had surveys, but it doesn't mention, I'm sorry, faculty and students, but it doesn't mention when staff, there was there ever?
The statement was there never has been a staff survey, and that's what they're focusing on right now. Mm-hmm. The information that came out last week was the faculty was surveyed 2 years ago.
Right.
Students are continually, but you probably know. Right. Oh, you will know. Right. Are surveyed continually. Staff, the stateless staff has never been surveyed.
And then, so once this final report is given to the president, so what's going to happen?
It'll be used as a baseline. I'm sure if anything concrete comes out of it where they think they can make improvements, they're going to try to. I don't know how they're going to put information back out to all the staff. It's a good question I have to ask. But I think two things are supposed to come out. One is there anything concrete coming out of the survey that tells us we should be doing something differently? And two is, here's our baseline, now let's, and I don't know what the time frame is going to be, survey every year, every 2 years, but let's see if the climate is going in the right direction. Are things improving, or are they, you know, compared to this baseline, or are they getting worse? So there's two objectives out of it in the end.
Okay, any other questions? All right, we have approval of the last meeting minutes, which was October 15th, 2008. Everyone can just take a quick glance, and I will entertain a motion when anybody is ready. To approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion for the
minutes. Thank you.
I'll take it. Let's see if we have a meeting or whatever.
All right, we've moved in seconded that the minutes from October 15th have been approved. Going into committee reports, executive committee. I don't think we have anything to report. Yeah.
There's Mary. Don't get too far in.
Okay.
Yeah, we're holding for a moment.
Freezing there.
Sure. All right, I think we'll stop now at this point, and we'll turn over to Mary. And
I'm sorry.
No problem.
You're running over.
So Mary, I'm filling in for Brian today. He identified three issues or three questions to focus on today. There's one, an economic and Cornell University financial update. The second is what can the EA do in assistance with that? And three ideas for future forums, which may connect into some of the brown bag forums and the cost saving and suggestion box and everything like that.
Okay, so the financial situation, you've heard the president speak a couple of times. You know, we're still trying to understand the full magnitude of the financial situation. You've heard the governor, he gave an update just yesterday. We have some new information coming out of SUNY yesterday. And we're trying to understand the magnitude of that. But the state budget situation is not good. Financial situation of the federal government is not good. And the financial situation in Cornell is not good. It's not good. It's a situation that's, you know, that we have to work our way out of and wait our way out of. It's not a, you know, it's not what we fully understand. And it's not permanent. I mean, we will work our way out of it. Wall Street will find its way through this. And when it does, the state will find its way through it. But it's no what to do. The state situation is the most urgent, I guess, of our current situation because it affects us most directly right now. The we have our in-year cut from SUNY, we think. We don't have it in writing right now, but we know, we think we know what it is. We have an emerging set of concerns about our state agency cuts, and so we're trying to figure out what that would be and how we'll address those. So the contract colleges are going to be meeting starting on Friday and we'll continue to meet all week. The governor will continue to try to figure out what to do about the in-year budget, and then in December we'll put out his budget for next year. And that will affect largely, but not only, the statutory colleges and the central administration, but also parts of the campus receive state agency funding as well. We have state agency funding in other parts of the colleges, other colleges as well. The situation on Wall Street affects our debt, it affects our endowment, so it affects all parts of the campus. At the same time, the university has continued to go forward with improvements in our financial aid. We feel like we have to do that because our families, our students and their families continue to be affected by the financial situation in the country, and so that makes our financial aid even more important to them. So we believe fully that we have to do that, but it does put even more pressure on our budget. So we're trying to figure out what that means in terms of a job on the campus and construction on the campus and about the hiring college and about the construction college. We've been meeting with our trustees to try to understand exactly what the scope of the problem is, and we'll be meeting again right after the Thanksgiving break. The deans and legislators will be meeting to figure out how we're going to address cost-cutting measures on campus starting up this year and then moving forward through next year. The hiring pause has definitely slowed down hiring on campus. That will continue. If not in a hiring pause, job slowdowns will continue, I think, throughout all counties. No doubt in my mind that will continue. Job loss is going to continue as well, at least on the state side. We've had layoffs. We're up to about 55 of them so far. I suspect that those will continue into the rest of this fiscal year. We're trying as best we can to mitigate those and to get people placed into other positions. We have jobs now going into an internal hiring bank first. We've had some successes in moving people into other positions. We're doing as much as we can on that. We're trying not to put positions up that we can close and not fill, because that if you don't open a job, you can save another job, and that's sort of what we're saying. Save money, save jobs. We're asking people not to spend other kinds of money that saves the job. We're looking really hard, to be honest with you, about salary increases this year. I know that's tough on people, but salary increase money is the same money that saves salary increase money, saves jobs. It's all coming out of the same pot, so we're looking at all of that right now. And that's what we're doing. So it's a tough year. It's going to be a tough year again next year. I'm hoping that if we can get through FY09 and FY10, that things should start. I mean, you know, people are saying that if we can hang on through FY09 and FY10, we should start to see this settling out. So that seems like a long time right now. but I'm hopeful that, you know,
Mary, you say you have a rough idea what the inline cut is going to be. How is that compared to what you were expecting, preparing for before you received the numbers? Worse, better, on par?
The state situation is this year is a little better because SUNY picked up some of it with one-time money. Next year is looking a little worse, to be honest with you, because the Wall Street's not settling down as quickly as we had thought. And so much of what happens to New York State is Wall Street driven. So in the long run, Wall Street hits us. We get double hit by Wall Street. We get it on the state side, and then we get it right into our investment pool. So, I think it's sobering, but I think the point is we're luckier than most universities because we have an endowment. Most universities, if they had one, they don't have much of one right now, and we still do. And so we're going to have a couple, kind of 2 years of two years that are tough, but we'll be all right after that. And so, I don't think we can save every job, but I think we can save most of them. And, it's just to kind of hang the community together and for people to look everywhere to save and for us to save as many jobs as we can. People to just stay together as a community. That's the goal. So, what can the EA do? Brian and Beth, as a trustee, are on the cost savings committee of the university. Get in as many suggestions as possible, answer questions as honestly as we can when people ask them. I don't think we should sugarcoat things, but I don't think people should walk around like the sky is falling. It's not. Take every cost savings idea and just run it to the ground. Try to get as much as we can out of it. Good ideas should be pulled as far as we can. Take as much cost savings out of it as we can, I think. So take them from everywhere we can. Try to keep cynicism to a minimum. Try to keep people's morale up as much as we can. Answer questions people have. Try not to let people panic. And we'll be all right. It's a community. I think people are coming together. I hear a lot of really good stuff. Faculty are saying, we're in this with the staff.
Gary, how much can we get if we sell one copy of the Ginsburg Dress?
I think we are going to do that.
There's a local library that's selling a link in the letter to fund the whole wing to their library.
Mary, it's been in the news, it's not recent, but over time, where some places have cut their work week from 5 days to 4, is that really safe? Is there really a substantial savings?
It does in certain, but it wouldn't here because we're a 24/7 operation.
Right.
So where it does, it saves you money because you can close right down, it saves you energy costs.
Okay.
But in a place like this, where you have research running, students here, so you can't close enough of it to get any real savings.
Okay.
But in places where you can shut all the lights off, shut off all your energy, and you don't live in the Northeast where all your pipes freeze when you do that, you actually can save money. But here, it doesn't really save you. So we have some places that are going to looking at four-day a week, for the purposes of trying to save some overtime costs. So it's not, some people don't mind it, other people can't do it because they have other family obligations and stuff. I think one of the biggest messages that we're going to need to start to get out, which I have to kind of figure out how to say this, but the EA can help me, is that one of the things the president and I are saying is that we don't want to balance this completely on the backs of the staff. I think it's, we need to be careful about that because we're not going to lay faculty. That's not going to happen. We didn't grow the faculty, we grew the staff. We didn't grow the faculty. And the reduction will come in the staff population because we don't have a big faculty population. So the size of our student population, our staff population is actually kind of modest. But we do actually have a fairly large staff population, and it's the area that's grown. So in reality, it's the area where you have to take your cuts. I don't think it'll be, it's hard to take them there, but it's where our growth has been. Why?
Oh, no, no. What I was saying, was it, I don't know, was it 5 or 6 years ago, there was a workforce.
Workforce planning?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't really cut much.
Oh, okay.
We talked a lot about cutting. Okay. We didn't cut much. But we really thought about it. We thought about cutting. Okay. Because we kept about, I mean, 50 people.
Okay.
Because it's what we agonized about. So that's I lost 5 pounds. but anyway, the point I guess I was trying to make is, so when you look practically at when you really have, when you have a real financial problem, you do 65% of your operating costs for staff and faculty, which is true. Some amount of your savings has to come in your salary expenses. So practically, we are going to have to reduce our population. I'm hoping a lot of that can come out of attrition, which is why I keep pressing and use that hiring clause. And if you never hire it, that's the savings without letting anybody go. That's the easiest and best way, because we don't have much, no, people aren't retiring. That's mostly where you get your savings from attrition. They can't retire right now. So if you don't hire in, that's the savings with nobody's losing their job, right? But if we have to let people go, it's probably going to be staff. So we want to do as little of that as possible, but we're probably going to have to do some of that. But we want to do as little of that as possible. So when David and I say we don't want to balance this on the back of the staff any more than we have to, the other side of that message is staff are going to have to do things differently. And so far, that's been hard here. It's been tough. For me on this campus to get people to do things they don't want to do. It is not a real easy workforce to change. And that's just the way people in Ithaca are. They're very headstrong, and that's good, right? People like what they like, and they know what they know, and this makes for a very vibrant and peppy. And that's good, right? It's great, peppy arguments and debates and stuff. But I do think the other side of the loyalty to the population as much as we can is that we are going to ask people to be more change-driven. When we ask them to do things differently or do different things, that they're going to have to be more nimble about doing that, taking on different roles, training to do things differently. When we say it's really, really cheaper if we do it one way as opposed to 7 ways, we're going to have to do it one way. And that's how we're going to make things streamlined. Because not everything has to have less people. It just has to have less headaches. And there's a lot of savings to, over time, to just to not having to have every single thing done differently at every college. And over time, you can get a lot of things done cheaper if you don't have to have, information technology supporting sovereign infrastructures. And the Office of Human Resources having, 7 colors of, intakes because, this college prefers to write it on purple paper, and that was really always done it on mauve because mauve works better there. And we've allowed a lot of that stuff because it's just easier than fighting with, all of the different places. And so I think one of the things you all can help us with is when we talk about cost savings and efficiencies, there's got to be a reciprocality to the loyalty that if we're going to try to all be, together, it means, we commit to the community and the community commits to the university. I think the EA can help with that.
Okay.
except if it does settle, there's going to be an upside to all this.
That's right.
That's right.
Big time.
Yeah.
Because in the end, no one's really happy with it the way it is. It's just that a lot of times the fight is all people can do anymore. Nobody knows why they aren't used to the way it is. It's just that it's all they remember is how to argue. Because we're petty. I remember why I don't like you, but I just don't anymore. You know, and I think that in the end, people will find that it's just a lot smarter to give up on their, on old tired arguments and just be wise about things that don't matter. So I do think that, sort of like I do at the national level, this needed to happen. So, should we as employees be expecting something too, like in the beginning of 2009, that is a set of new things that we're going to do in a certain way, coming from the senior staff, like from now on, actually is the cost-saving committee get done with its proposals. Somebody will decide we're now doing things in this way, and that's it. This is the new way to do it. I mean, should we be expecting that and just bracing ourselves to be ready for change? Or is it going to be a slow...
Oh, I don't think there'll ever be a moment in time when all of a sudden the world makes sense and spins on a different axis or anything. I think that things will emerge.
Okay.
I think that what will happen is that the senior team will agree to probably try and make sense of a couple things at first and try it out and then maybe a couple more things. I think as they get their arms around as we get our arms around the financial issues and really grapple with how much of it is about the organization. And a lot of it is going to be about, you've heard the president say, we should grow our way out of most of this. You cannot cut your way out of a lot of these problems. You can wait a lot of it out, and the market will fix a lot of it, and the gifts will fix a lot of it. Some of it is about buildings that just are not going to get built, and changes around capital. I mean, that's just true. Staffing that will have to wait. Hires that won't get made, cuts that will be made in the staff size, and cuts that will be made to the things that we buy is only one part of it. You have to be practical about how much you can cut your way out of the problem and fix. You just can't fix this with those. But they're a part. But they are. Yeah, I'm just thinking of how your average person, if we have thousands of people who work here who are just wondering what's going on, feeling pressure, but they don't know why, they don't know what's going to happen, and it would be, I think, a good thing for people to have something to do. And even if it's everyone buying a stapler from the company.
Well, both, I think,
will make people feel good.
The committee that you're on will save more money, I suspect, than the whole total of staff.
That would be great.
I am absolutely convinced of that. I told that committee that. The staff cuts will not equal the amount of money that we're going to save. I believe that. The amount of buying that goes on this campus and the ability to use discounts to save will dwarf the cuts that we make. There's not that much in cuts you can make. You can, over time, you can use attrition to lower your base of the size of the organization. But cutting, I don't think will be that. I just don't think you can do that to the community. But I think you can really change your buying practices fast.
Mm-hmm.
Without jarring.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking.
I don't think life, as you know, it changes if you all buy your stapler in the same place. place, or everyone just stop printing. Or you just say to everybody, you know what, all those publications and all of those, you just don't have them anymore. None of them. I think if everybody who publishes something shiny knew that if they didn't publish anything shiny, X number of people could keep their jobs, they wouldn't publish something shiny. I really believe that. I mean, I just believe that the power of knowing you've kept someone in a job during a climate like this.
We've gone over in our meeting. Does anybody have any remaining pressing questions for Mary?
Is your article going in the paper? There's an article going into the committee.
Thank you, Mary, for the update.
Thank you.
In the interest of time, we've already lost a couple other people. We can no longer.
Don't do this anymore. Wait. Look at all the paper. No more printing.
So skipping through any of the committee reports, does anybody have anything major for their report, or should we just go down the list real quick? Okay, because I can say nothing for communication. We covered.
Why I just asked for a sort of call for expenses. Amy's been sending me bills as they come in for the energy fair. I'd like to do a calculation by next meeting. If anybody's aware of any expenses that have been incurred that, or coming in like that piece that we sent out about that, we're going to have some piece for the .090, some deficits to cover. Let me know.
I will send it tonight. I'll send an email or talk to Amy Page about not being able to sponsor the event going forward. And it just occurred to me, too, that we've gone way over our possible budgeted items for the energy fair, so we're going to have to see how that affects our budget going forward.
So,
any open forum quick things before we adjourn? Go ahead.
Real quick, in the other old business, remember the smoke-free campus priority item that was here? The UA asked me to submit it to them instead of the EA because they feel it's more appropriate for the UA, which I will be doing on September 3rd.
Thank you. I don't want you to adjourn. I don't know if we even have the ability to do that. Or adjourn.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.